comme Denis Talley. So Denis is a director of research at INRIA. He's also a part-time position at École Polytechnique. Up to 2004, he intensively developed a new field, the mathematical analysis of numerical simulation methods of stochastic processes. He founded new analysis methodologies and obtained optimal convergence rate estimates in various contexts by combining stochastic analysis and PDE analysis techniques. From 2010, he has been concentrating his research on singular stochastic models. He was an invited speaker to the 2014 International Congress of Mathematicians in Seoul. He also was president of the French Society of Applied and Industrial Mathematics from 2006 to 2009. He had many editorial duties. He currently is an area editor of stochastic processes and their applications, and an editor of Journal of European Mathematical Society. Among his commission of trust, he is serving as vice president of the Natixis Foundation, which promotes academic research on financial risks, and a member of the scientific committee of the French agency AMIES, which promotes interaction between mathematics and industry. So we have the great pleasure to welcome Denis today. He will speak about sensitivity with respect to Earth's parameter of functionals of diffusions driven by fractional Brownian motions.
Thank you very much, Céline, for your kind introduction. So my talk will concern SDEs driven by fractional Brownian motions, and we will study the sensitivity of the solution with respect to the Hurst parameter of the noise. It's a joint work with Alexandre Richard at École Centrale Supélec near Paris. So let's start by introducing the topic. So I'm concerned by a modeling issue. When we introduce a stochastic differential equation, it's because we want to perturb by noise deterministic dynamics given by an ODE. But telling that, I'd say nothing on the nature of the noise. So basically, quite often one chooses the Brownian motion, the standard Brownian motion, for several reasons. First of all, because it's the natural limit, asymptotic limit of common noises observed in nature. And second, it's because then the solution capital X inherits the Markovian structure, Markov properties, which are quite useful from an analytical point of view and from numerical point of view. Well, but in many recent applications coming from neuroscience, finance, and also for numerical analysis of stochastic systems, maybe I will have time to say a couple of words about that. One interested in noises which have memory, and typically the fractional Brownian motion BH. So now the question is, as BH is no more Markov, XH, the solution is no more Markov as well, so we lose a lot of tools coming from the Markov theory, the Markov process theory. And second, we also lose, which maybe is more important, we also lose all the standard stochastic calculus. And you will see that then we have to handle much more complex stochastic calculus tools and techniques. So the question is it worth dealing with a complex model driven by BH rather than the standard model governed by B? So we will try to answer these two questions by examining two, let's say, extreme cases in the sense of Malievin calculus. The first case is the case of the first test case is a case where we want to compute the expectation of smooth functional of the solution. For example, time marginal, the expectation of phi of xt, where phi is a smooth function and t is a deterministic fixed time horizon. And the second case, the case of an extremely irregular functional within the framework of Malievin calculus, namely Laplace transforms of the first passage time of the solution at a given threshold. So our first result is that when we examine the expectation of phi of the solution at the fixed time t, the dependency of the solution of the quantity we want to compute with respect to capital H is as follows. We can bound from above the error expectation of phi of xh minus at time t minus expectation of phi of x at time t by a constant times h minus 1 over 2. Why is it so important to make appear why h minus 1 over 2? Because I forgot to tell you in the preceding slide that when capital H is equal to 1/2, the fractional Brownian motion BH is nothing else the standard Brownian motion. Okay, so in all the talk, we are interested in estimating the quantity we are interested in compared to the same quantity but driven by the pure Brownian motion. We want to get estimates in terms of h minus 1/2. And the second result, so I gave already this talk 3 or 4 times, and each time, so the first time we got for this complex situation, an Hölder continuity in terms of capital H minus 1 over 2 of the Laplace transform. The second talk, I presented a better Hölder coefficient, power, excuse me. And finally, with Alexandre, we needed quite a long time to understand that we can reach Lipschitz continuity with respect to capital H minus 1 over 2. So I guess that the result I'm presenting today, which we obtained at the end of last year, is actually the optimal we can obtain. So remember, I introduce constant mu, which depends on the coefficients b and sigma of the SDE, a function capital O of lambda, which is of order square root of 2 lambda when lambda is big. So just remember that O of lambda is of order square root of 2 lambda when lambda is big. Lambda tilde is almost a lambda. And I also introduce capital F, the Lamperti transform for the SDE XT, that is the transform which allows you to go from the general function sigma to a diffusion coefficient equal to one. Okay, and finally, I introduce this function NP of X naught, the initial position, and lambda. So it's this complex object you can see on the screen. It's an exponential moment of capital F of XH weighted by an exponential of minus 1/2 lambda tilde times P and S. And we take the supremum over S. Well, so given this notation, we get the following result. The Laplace transform of the first sitting time at level one, say, for any x naught smaller than one. When you compare this Laplace transform for any Hurst parameter between one over four and one, and the Brownian, pure Brownian case, where capital H is equal to 1/2. So we get the following estimate. A constant times, so CH means that a constant explodes possibly when capital H goes to 1 over 4 or to 1, but it's locally bounded within this the interval 1 over 4, 1. Okay? So the constant times H minus 1/2 times a function of lambda and times the sum of the exponential moment MP I just introduced. So the technical difficulties in this story consist in getting accurate controls with respect to H one minus 1/2, but also with respect to the distance between the threshold and the initial position. And of course, with respect to lambda, we want that all the estimates on the right-hand side decay exponentially fast with respect to lambda and with respect to one minus x naught. So that's the main challenge in this story, in addition to get the Lipschitz continuity of with respect to H minus 1/2. So why exponential decay just in terms of lambda and 1 minus x naught? Because when we have xh is equal to the pure Brownian motion, that is when sigma is equal to 1, b is equal to 0, the Laplace transform of the first sitting time of the Brownian motion at level 1 is given by exponential of minus square root of 2 lambda times 1 minus x naught. So I remind you that the function R of lambda is approximately equal to square root of 2 lambda when lambda is big. So that explains you why the horrible formula which is given in this slide is not so so bad. I mean, for example, if you look at the first term on the right-hand side, we have exponential of minus q times m. M is more or less 1 minus x naught, because under our assumptions, the Lamperti transform capital F is Lipschitz. And q is more or less p times square root of 2 lambda. Okay, so we actually get that this first term resembles a lot the exact Laplace transform of the Brownian motion. And you can believe me, the other terms are more or less of the same type. Okay, so so again, before starting to look at the proof, what we want to get is a control of the sensitivity estimate in terms of h minus 1/2 times something which depends on the exponential moments np for p equal to 1, 2, and 4, because we have this is enough because we have this nice estimate on the exponential moment np. Okay, so a couple of reminders on fractional Brownian motions. So a fractional Brownian motion with first parameter capital H is a self-similar Gaussian process with stationary increments and covariance function equal to 1/2 s to the power 2h plus t to the power 2h minus s minus t to the power 2h. And you can see when capital H is equal to 1/2, you get an s is equal to t, you get t, you get t, which is the covariance of Wt. And the key point of the full literature on the entire literature on the fractional Brownian motions is that this covariance function is equal to the integral of KHSU times KHTU, where KH is a kernel, is a singular kernel, which is explicitly given by the formula you can see on the slide. So you can see that when capital H is less than 1/2, the first term is singular, in the sense it explodes when S gets to, is close to R, becomes close to R. And the integral in the formula is also more and more singular when capital H decreases. So that explains part of the difficulty we encountered to develop our analysis. And why are we so interested in the KH is because it enters the following representation of the fractional Brownian motion BH. BH is the integral of KH with respect to a standard Brownian motion, capital B. Okay, so up to the fact that we have to introduce a singular kernel KH, we have hence a bridge between the fractional Brownian motion and a standard Brownian motion. And in some sense, a large part of the calculations we had to develop was to study the distance between KH and 1. Okay? Of course, it's not so simple as that, but several computations can be summed up by comparing KH to 1. Okay, we also need to introduce a new singular kernel, KH star, which is written here in red. It's particularly singular, again, when capital H is less than 1/2. Now, we will need Malievin calculus, so several people, including Aaron Mellart in particular, constructed suitable spaces of processes and functions, which allow to develop the Malievin derivative operator and the Skorod, the corresponding Skorod integral. So, given the standard the Malievin derivative capital B, the standard bound motion capital B, we define the Malievin derivative dH as the inverse of the kernel KH star applied to capital D. And we define the Skorod integral by duality. So that's duality in suitable spaces. So you can see the standard duality equality. And then we define the score, and then we can observe that the Skorod integral satisfies the nice property. The Skorod integral on this Wiener space associated to the fractional bundle motion BH is equal to delta, the Skorod integral associated to capital B, applied to KH star, applied to the process U. Okay? The integrand U. So, we also can define Stratonovich integral with respect to fractional bundle motions. So it's there are several ways to define different Stratonovich integrals. In this talk, we consider this definition. Which is quite similar to the definition of the Stratonovich integral with respect to the standard bundle motion. So it's a limit in probability of the integral of the integrand US with respect to a smoothing of the trajectory of BH. Okay, so if ever an object, which I denote by trace of DHU, so if this object is well defined, and if the integrand belongs to a suitable subspace of the Cameron-Martin space of the preceding slide, then Nuadart and co-authors prove that there is a nice relationship between the Stratonovich integral and the Skorod integral, the price to pay is a trice term. And of course, this trice term is nothing but the standard additional term to go from the Stratonovich integral to the Itô integral when h is equal to 1/2. But in the fractional case, I mean when h is not equal to 1/2, then of course the structure of this trace term is much more complex. Okay, so we now examine strong solution to SD. So for when H is bigger than 1.5, we define a solution as a solution in the sense of Jung or Noël-Lart and Raskanu. And when H is smaller, then we adopt the notion of solution developed by Alos, Léon, and Noël-Lart. We didn't find in the literature Itô's formula when H is different from 1.5. At least Itô's formula written in a simple enough way, we can use it for purpose. So what we did is the following. We first prove an Itô formula, which allows us to write a dynamics for the Lamperti transform of XH. So the proof is simple, but use a lot that the target diffusion term, diffusion coefficient, is equal to 1. That's very important in the proof. Okay, and once we have this nice formula, we can develop a second Itô formula, and this time we will take advantage of the fact that the process to which we apply the Itô formula has the diffusion coefficient equal to 1. And we get the following one. Okay. Before writing the formula, I need to tell you that the operator DH, the Malievan derivative, which is applied to the process YH, has a very nice explicit representation because the diffusion coefficient is equal to 1. So you can see it is basically an exponential of the derivative of the drift applied to Y. And from that formula, we have nice estimates first on the Malievan derivative capital D. So capital D, I recall you, it's the derivative with respect to the pure Brownian motion. And we get these nice estimates, not only on capital D applied to Y, but also to increments of capital D applied to Y. And this is very important in the sequel. Okay, so here is the Itô formula for a function applied to Y. So you can see it starts from the first term is the integral of G prime of BT times B tilde of Y, HS. Of course, one everybody expects at least this term. Then we have the scored integral and delta H, and we have in addition, the trace term which appears, and this trace term is given by the expression you can see on the slide, which involves the operator capital D, the derivative of the singular canon KH, and the function s to the power 2h minus 1 which is integrable, which is singular, but integrable on the interval 1 over 4 to 1. Okay, so let's see how to prove our first result, that is the Lipschitz continuity of expectation of Ch at time t around capital H equal to 1/2. Or equivalently, because the Lamperti transform is 1 to 1, the Lipschitz continuity of the expectation of phi of y h at time t. Well, so to understand how we proceed, I just recall what we do in when capital H is equal to 1/2 to get the probabilistic representation of a parabolic PDE. So look at the Kolmogorov equation, du over ds plus the infinitesimal generator of y applied to u equal to zero up to time script t. And at time t, we have the boundary condition u at time t is equal to the test function, the smooth test function phi we are interested in. So what we do, of course, we do that for students. We apply Itô formula to u at time t and yt. So we can see that it gives a martingale, which is integral with respect to capital B, plus precisely du over ds plus lu. So the integral with respect to the Lebesgue measure is equal to zero. We under suitable assumptions, the local martingale is a true martingale. So the expectation of the stochastic integral is equal to zero. And we get the expectation of u, t, and yt, which is equal to the expectation of phi of yt because of the boundary condition, is nothing but nothing else than u at time zero and at point y naught. Okay, so the idea is to apply to use the function u given by the preceding Kolmogorov partial differential equation, and we apply it to the process yh. So we have first the Lebesgue integral. We then have second term is the score odd integral. And the last term is the trace term. And I use to explicit this trace term, I use again the bridge between the operator dh and the operator capital D. Okay, so now I use that the Kolmogorov equation, which tells me that du over ds plus dy is equal to 1 minus over 2 times the second derivative of u. And that explains you why you can see in the second equality of the slide, you can see why minus 1 over 2 times the second derivative of u. Okay, and I gather this term with the term coming from the trace term. Okay, and I use the fact that the integral of h times h No, I use the fact that the integral of s minus r to the power 2h minus 2 integrated from 0 to s and then from 0 to t gives precisely capital H times h. No, excuse me. Just integrated between 0 to s and multiplied by capital H times 2h minus 1 precisely gives me h times s to the power 2h minus 1. Okay, so now I have the second trick is that I use the fact that dhy, because of the exponential representation I had shown you before, it should be interesting to get some. No, excuse me. You see, you have in singularity s minus r to the power 2h minus 2. And this singular term, very singular term, is multiplied by dhys, drh applied to yhs. Okay, so the singularity appears when s is close to r, that he, and yh is given by an exponential, which is close to 1 when r is close to s. So that gives the idea to write that dhr yhs is equal to dhr yhs minus 1 plus 1. Okay, so you combine all these elementary tricks and you get the equality I just shown you here. So the first term delta 1 is very simple to control when capital H is bigger than 1/2, because then you can compute easily the integral of the absolute value of capital H times s to the power of 2h minus 1 minus 1/2. And using that the fact that the second derivative of the function u is bounded under assumptions, you can bound delta 1 from above by constant times h minus 1 over 2 when capital H is bigger than 1/2. And when to bound delta 2, you use the last inequality in the proposition, which gives you an estimate on the increment of the Malliavin operator applied to yh. And after lengthy calculations, you get, you exhibit that the no, sorry. We even don't need that. You just need the explicit representation of dh times yh under an exponential, which gives you the term s minus r, which allows you to decrease the singularity s minus r to the power 2h minus 2 to s minus r to the power 2h minus 1. And that's enough to get the estimate you desire. When h is smaller than 1/2, the methodology needs to be improved. The calculations are much more complex. But just recall that we, somewhere in the proof, we had to control, to compare h times s to the power 2h minus 1 to 1/2. Okay. And actually, when h is equal to 1 over 2, this is equal to 0. And when H is close to one half, this term is close to something which is small. And the second fact is that we use the exponential representation of dH applied to yH to get rid of part of the singularity of the integrand in the singular integrals coming from the definition of kH and kH star. Okay, what about the Laplace transform? So again, examining the Laplace transform of x of or the Laplace transform of y is exactly the same story. And now, instead of looking at the Kolmogorov equation associated to the pure Markov situation when capital H is equal to 1 over 2, we look at the ODE, which provides the Laplace transform of the first sitting time of the diffusion. So that's the ODE you can see on the slide, where in particular, when you start from the threshold, then the first sitting time is equal to zero. And of course, the Laplace transform needs to be then is equal to one. And when the starting point goes to minus infinity, the first sitting time goes to plus infinity, so the Laplace transform goes to zero. So you play the same game as before. You apply the Itô score rod formula to y to this the new function w lambda applied to y capital H. Okay, and you, in fact, now we stop. So we stop at time tau h minus the infimum of tau h and fixed time horizon capital N. And we get the equality written in red. So again, I've been too fast. I use the partial differential equation to transform the Lebesgue integral into a new integral which involves only the second derivative of the solution of the PDE. Okay. And now the game consists in first letting capital N go to infinity, and second, controlling the right-hand side by h minus one half and the exponential moments MP. So it's easy to show that each one of the terms in the preceding equality has a finite limit when capital N goes to infinity, except the scored integral, but at least you get that the limit of the scored integral when capital N, the stopped integral, scored integral, when capital N tends to infinity has a limit. So now the problem consists in estimating the two terms, y1 and y2. A crucial lemma is the following one. As we will see, we have the integral of the derivative of kH. So this term on the left-hand side appears in the trace term, remember. Trace term in the score of the integral. So that's the Itô formula, excuse me. You can see at the end of this slide, preceding slide. So it's not astonishing that we have to get nice estimate on this trace term. And you can see that we can, the estimate we find is the sum of first a function of, I mean, a linear function of capital H minus 1 over 2, which is good. And it's this coefficient is multiplied by a smooth function of S, which is pretty good. And a term we already encountered, which is capital H times H to the power 2H minus 1 minus 1 over 2. Okay, so we have to control the stopped integral, stopped scored integral, where the scored operator is delta script H. Delta script H is delta applied to kh star u by definition. So we have to control standard scored integral applied to w prime lambda of yh and stopped at time 2h of n. Okay. So it's exactly what we I wrote. So excuse me. So I go back here. So we have the delta H applied to a given integrand, and we stop at time tau H of n. And I compare that to to delta apply to the same integrand whose expectation is equal to zero. And then the calculations are quite terrible and very, very, very long. So I just want to give you just a flavor of what happens. We have to, in fact, the proof consists mainly in trying to control the difference between KH star and the identity operator. So first we use Mayer's inequality for scored integral, which allows you to reduce the calculation of the expectation of delta k star minus identity applied to blah, 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 and stop at time tau h. So you can reduce these calculations to the estimation of the integral of the expectation of the Malleable derivative applied to a new integrand. I will tell you in a few seconds the definition of this new integrand. You squared and then you integrate with respect to the two parameters script R and V. R is the index of the Malleable derivative and V is a parameter which appears in the definition of the integrand ut minus un, you can see here. And this integrand depends on key kh and the derivative of the kernel kh. So the first term you can see, it's again, it's, you consist in essentially comparing kh to the kernel operator, the kernel kh to 1 when capital H goes to 1/2. And for the second term, in fact, what we do is we introduce a pivot term. Which depends on W prime at point YH script V in order to play the same game as in the smooth case. I mean, use the fact that Y, the derivative of Y theta minus the derivative of Y V is smooth a bit, is smooth enough to decrease the singularity in V minus theta of the derivative with respect to theta of the of KH theta V. Okay, and what is very important in this story is that we have a very nice control of the derivative capital D applied to the process y theta or applied to a function of y theta in terms of the kernel kh. And it's a pretty good function of theta minus r. And once, and in this control, you have an exponential moment of the threshold minus y theta, which appears very naturally. And that explains to you why the exponential moments MP appear in the story. And in fact, play a big role in the story. It's just because of the very last inequality in this slide. So the nice point is that M2 appears. The less nice point is that you have the squared of the singular kernel KH, which enters the cell. So the conclusion is that because of the Lipschitz property, the Lipschitz continuity of the quantity we are interested in, the pure Brownian motion is quite robust. So in some sense, if you have to model phenomenon, if statistical study leads you to capital H close to 1/2, probably you should consider that the model is driven by pure Brownian motion, which allows you to use all the Markov properties of the solution and all the standard calculus, into calculus, to analyze the model and to simulate the model. Many open questions. Because we started the story from the Lamperti transform, we had to suppose that the sigma is bounded from below by a positive constant. To get rid of the ellipticity condition, we, of course, the idea would be not use the Lamperti transform, start from the PDE driven by the generator of the process X. Why not? And then we encountered the big difficulties coming from the fact that the Itô formula for the process X is really difficult to handle. The trace term is quite horrible. Second open question, multidimensional models, where so tau h would be the first sitting time of a bounded domain, for example. The point is again to develop nice enough Itô scored formula with a trace term which can be handled. And last open question, we examine the Laplace transform, of course, it will be still better for applications to get a nice sensitivity analysis for the density of XH at MT, which means that we would have to invert estimates on Laplace transforms, which is not a nice idea because we add new singularities to the preceding ones. So we would have to rather start from a new starting point, that is a stochastic representation of the density of the solution. But that's a quite different story, I'm afraid. So that ends my talks. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you very much. Are there some questions or comments?
So maybe. I could help.
Okay. Yes, Stefan.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you very much for this talk. I have one question. So you have the first one. You have the sensitivity. This is on the right hand side. This is H minus 1 over 2. And there's no exponent. Can you imagine that you might get square root of H minus 1 over 2 if you have different sigmas or if you have a different driving drift coefficient so that it's not Lipschitz in H?
Excuse me, could you repeat? So
your estimate is on the right-hand side, the Lipschitz estimate for the Hurst exponent.
Yes.
And can you imagine that if you would allow for more general B or sigma, that you get a Hölder estimate on the right-hand side? So square root of H minus, modulus of H minus 1 over 2, that this would be sharp, something like that? Or is this principle not possible?
You mean if B and sigma are less smooth than under our assumptions?
Yes, for example, yes.
No, I have no idea at all because at least our technique deeply use the fact that B and sigma are smooth.
Yeah.
Because we need smoothness to construct the Lamperti transform, to derive the Lamperti transform, to get nice estimates on the solution of the Kolmogorov equation and so forth. So if we use that, and so of course, we could smoothen the coefficient and then we would have a kind of competition between the distance between the smoothing function, the smoothing coefficient and the exact coefficient, and the distance between capital H and 1/2. I have absolutely no idea.
And I have a question. And you mentioned some motivations at the beginning of your talk on finance, for example. Can you say something about that?
Yes. So this is me, I did anything. So in particular for risk analysis, when you have good reasons to consider that there is some kind of memory in the dynamics of the prices or the strategies of the trader. So if you say, then if you consider that there is a kind of memory in the system, you will naturally choose a noise, a fractional volume noise. And of course, then you could be interested in estimating the performance of your portfolio compared to a portfolio constructed on a rough model. You shouldn't use rough, on a pure Markov model.
Okay.
For example, what use, consider a trader who use a strategy coming from an option price corresponding to the pure volume case. But this strategy is applied to price, to real prices, which are driven by fractional volume motion. So we would like to see what's the lack of hedging corresponds to the fact that the trader doesn't use a good strategy.
Okay, thank you. Are there other questions?
I have a question.
Yes, please.
Yes. So my question would be, I think you used the construction of fraction Brownian motion as an integral with respect to Brownian motion. So then for all Hurst parameters, yeah, you have all these constructions on the same probability space, and they are kind of coupled. So is it possible to get directly estimates between the distance of the path of the XH SDEs for different Hurst parameters? Instead of using the
function. Capital H is when the proxy model is not the Brownian case.
Yeah, I was wondering because all the SDEs, yeah, if you have even if you have the Brownian motion case and the fractional Brownian motion, then all the equations, they live on the same probability space, in a sense. Yeah, if you use the same Brownian motion to construct the fractional Brownian motions.
Yes.
So is it possible to obtain pathwise estimates between the distance of the SDE, say, driven by Brownian motion and fractional Brownian motion using this kind of, there's some kind of coupling, huh? Because it's the same fractional Brownian field, yeah, which is used for all of the driving Brownian, fractional Brownian motions.
That's a good question. Actually, we did not take a look at this question, but I guess that at least, for example, to get moments of XH minus X, at least parts of the estimates we had on the kernel KH should be useful to get moments estimates XH minus X and then to derive pathwise estimates.
Thank you.
I guess so.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe, well, I guess so, but I'm not so sure, finally. For the second moment, for sure. The point is that if we want to estimate, let's say, BH minus B to the power of 2P, not so sure that it's so easy.
Thank you very much.
Yes, because then you will have to control not only multiple integrals of order 2 of KH at different times, but multiple integrals of order 2P and yes, so, no, in fact, I don't know. I'm afraid it will be extremely complicated. That's interesting. Yeah.